Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a book of life, a book of wisdom, grace, salvation, and so, so much more. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you teach us in your word that you call us to seek to share the wonderful message of eternal life and share the message of life as well. Stir us as the church to be a church committed to standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to be courageous and bold in our stance, standing on what your word clearly teaches us, and help us more and more to be committed to having your heart for this issue. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and Rick is going to come on. He's going to share a word of prayer for our listeners as we're moving forward in our new year.
Father, we're thankful as we look back on 2019 to see how you've taken care of us, how you've watched over us, how you provided for us. And as we look ahead to this brand new year, Father, we are thankful to know that as we move ahead, you go ahead, that you go with us, Father. We thank you for that. We need you very much in our lives. And we pray, Father, for the listeners to the Hour of Intercession, this family of listeners that you brought together. Father, would you work in their hearts? Would you stir their hearts to want to spend more and more time in your word? And we pray that for ourselves too, Father, that you would give us hearts to read your word, even on those days when we don't want to read your word. But Father, we pray that you would work in their hearts to want to read your word, to spend more time with you, to make living a life for you a priority this year.
Yes, Lord,
that they would draw nearer to you, that they would live out lives, they would tell others about you. What a wonderful privilege it is, Father, to be a follower of yours. And God, we need your help. You know that you are the good shepherd,
and we're
just sheep, Father. We need you to lead us here in the brand new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that so much. Again, want to remind and encourage every single listener. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we, on a regular basis, try to encourage you to email us to get some of the prayer tools that we provide. You know, everyone can use help, strength, and encouragement in their prayer life. And God tells us to pray without ceasing. So all of us, it should be an ongoing goal for us to become more and more well-equipped prayer warriors as God would have us to be. So please email us. We'd be glad to send you some of the prayer tools to help strengthen, empower and encourage your prayer life, as well as discipleship tools that will help you in your walk with the Lord. And we want to continue to challenge you to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. That's a good goal for you to shoot for. If you haven't done it already, today is a great day to start that very important habit. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the Bishop of the North Carolina Third Jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ. And also he's the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop Wooden, how are you today?
I am honored. I'm blessed of the Lord, first of all, and highly favored. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But I am especially honored to be a guest and a part of this important broadcast, and Pastor Parker, to be with you today on American Family Radio. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Great to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about you and the Upper Room Church family as well.
Well, I am the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. I've been pastoring here in the city of Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm in my 33rd year. And we are, as have been mentioned, a part of the Church of God in Christ denomination, the largest black Pentecostal denomination in the world. And I, for the last 3 years, I have been the jurisdictional prelate of the North Carolina Third Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction, and our geographical boundaries, we are in Virginia, and in the state of North Carolina, and we have churches in South Carolina. It's about 50 or so churches that I preside over in our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And it is an honor to serve, and we are a ministry that is, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We do not believe that the Bible contains the words of God, but that the Bible is the Word of God. Our theme this year for 2020 is God's truth. Our Lord prayed in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verse 17. He says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we believe it. I've been married to my wife, Pamela, for 39 years and counting. I married my high school sweetheart. We're the proud parents of two children, and we have a wonderful son-in-law. Our daughter is married, and they've given us three wonderful grandkids. The ages are 10, 9, and 3. Mm-hmm. and boy, they are a joy. I mentioned them because if you ever needed a reason to fight in the cultural war, mm-hmm. in addition to the scriptures and the Holy Spirit and your doctrinal beliefs, man, you fight because you have to be concerned about what kind of world are we going to leave them. That's and right. So we are a pro-life church. We believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. We believe the scripture, and we're fighting for the promotion of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Bishop Wooden, for sharing more about you and your church, your family, your church family as well. And again, a privilege to have you on today. And as we start, I'm going to share some foundational scriptures with our listeners and to remind us of God's heart on the issue of standing for life and against abortion. And after I share the scriptures, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners, Bishop, to have ears to hear what God wants to say to them about their part in being a part of the body of Christ that's boldly standing for life as well. So I'm going to share the scriptures, and if you'll pray immediately after that, I'd appreciate that, okay? Again, foundational scriptures that remind us that we're called to stand for life. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, says, "You shall not murder." And then in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 through 12, they tell us, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 tell us, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5 tell us, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.'" John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And so those are just a few of some of the many passages in the Word of God that clearly help us to know that God wants us to choose life that we and our children will live. Bishop, would you pray at this time, please?
Dear God of the Bible, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that you open the ears of the understanding of the listeners today. Jesus, when you preached, you looked out at the multitudes and you could see that people had physical ears. And yet you said in your word, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, God, you said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in the Revelations. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch the listening audience and that they hear this topic through the prism of the Scriptures. We're not here to represent any political position, but we're here to represent and to promote the biblical position. I pray that you would prick the heart of the listener, that we will join, that each one would join in this fight for life, that the precious unborn, the very, very least of the least of these, oh God, may we speak for them and fight for them and win this battle on their behalf for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop Wooden. Now, Bishop, again, appreciate very much having you to come on today. And one of our goals in inviting you specifically is we're very appreciative of see how God is using the Church of God in Christ family to really provide leadership, biblical leadership on the issue of life. I have in front of me a copy of the resolution on the sanctity of life that was basically shared in November of 2019 at your General Assembly. And I believe your General Assembly is in St. Louis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Right. And part of what I'm wanting us to do today is I want to step through and I'm going to let you elaborate on some of the points because, again, from beginning to end, to me, it's a powerful document of truth that speaks the heart of God on the life issue in a wonderful way. So I'm just going to read portions and then I'm going to turn it over to you to let you just share, to expound on basically the truth behind what I've read, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. The resolution begins, whereas the Church of God in Christ believes the Bible to be the only inspired and infallible written word of God, and whereas the Bible clearly states that human beings are created in God's image and that God has a special care for individuals, whereas the Bible clearly states that children are a blessing from the Lord, further, the Bible is clear that life begins at conception in the womb. Additionally, modern technological advances and data confirm this biblical concept. A child in the womb is a person. Whereas abortion is the killing of the innocent, which is against Scripture. Now, that's quite a bit there, but I'm going to pause there. And I want to ask you to share, you know, of course, it beautifully lays out the fact that God's word is the foundation, but just share your thoughts on why they felt the need to put that wording in there as they did, as they introduced this resolution.
Thank you, Pastor Parker. And as a matter of fact, Bishop Vincent Matthews played a tremendous role in the wording of this resolution. And it mirrors the resolution that our presiding bishop, Bishop Charles Blake, actually had already put in place.
Bishop Wooden, we're coming up on a break here, and I'm going to have to cut in. I apologize, but we're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break.
All right.
Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the Bishop of North Carolina Third Jurisdiction and the pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back.
Our families upper room forsaken. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop, just as we were getting started there, the break came in. So if you'll start right where you left off there, you were sharing about Bishop Matthews. We've had the privilege of meeting Bishop Matthews and working with him a little bit here. But if you'll pick up where you left off.
Yeah, he's a tremendous man of God and a personal friend. Mm-hmm. But Bishop Charles Blake, our presiding bishop, who leads our great church, mm-hmm. Had this vision, and he had Bishop Matthews, the final draft, all but it mirrors what the presiding bishop envisioned precisely. Mm-hmm. So when we put this resolution on the floor, I was privileged, along with about maybe 10 other persons, to be in what you would call maybe the war room or behind the scenes wording the resolution. And this particular, the reason why we put in here, whereas abortion is the killing of the innocent, which is against Scripture, the one thing that we wanted to make it clear is that as a church, that is exactly who and what we are. We're not a political party. We're not a lobbying group. We're not some other kind of organization. We are the Church of our Lord. We submit biblical authority. We're not a medical association. We get our morals, our beliefs, and our doctrine from the Bible. So the goal was to make a religious, biblically based, biblically sound resolution that didn't even have anything to do with even church denominations. We didn't do it as a holiness church opposed to being a Methodist church or a Baptist church, but as the Lord's church. Mm-hmm. We wanted people to know that what motivated us was the Scriptures.
Hmm. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, Bishop Wooden, too, that I think of this, that, like, that's what the church all over the world is supposed to be founded on, the Word of God. And that should be pretty plain and simple. But again, the statement is a very, very powerful one. Now, in relation to that, I want to ask you to respond to this, and we're going to get right back to the resolution. But something that I've heard, I guess, too many clergy say in relation to this issue, they say something along this line, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. Tell our listeners, what's wrong with that statement?
Because what's wrong with it is they've bought a lie. Mm-hmm. The so-called woman's right to choose was a tested statement, and it was they put it out to see how it would fly. Because notice that they don't finish the sentence. a woman's right to choose. Well, to choose what? To wear pants or dress, to wear your hair up or down, to wear black clothing or white clothing. Well, if you finish this sentence, a woman's right to choose to exterminate the life that's in her womb or to kill that unborn baby, well, that didn't test well. Mm-hmm. So what many of the ministers don't realize is that they're being manipulated. Mm-hmm. And the minister has to be a spirit-led person and a spirit-filled person so he won't fall for marketing techniques and clever market-tested slogans to see how they fly in the face, how the general public will accept it. No minister can truthfully say, I'm against abortion, I'm against the killing of the unborn, the killing of the innocent, but then turn around and take all of that off the table and say, but yeah, I support a woman if she chooses to do that. Now, the overwhelming number of abortions in our country are out of convenience. Mm-hmm. It's not for the life of the mother. It's out of convenience. The child, you know, maybe the guy that she got pregnant for is married to someone else, or maybe she's in college and she needs to get an education. Just bad timing. We can't afford the child. We're poor, whatever the case may be. So it is used as a form of birth control. Mm-hmm. And no minister, if he's really thinking and truly praying, can actually say, I'm against abortion. But if the woman who is in the child, and we know that the child, each person, according to Psalms 139, is given his members, David said, is recorded in God's word. He has an assignment. He has a purpose. The child, there's a reason that child is there. The child is being fearfully and wonderfully made in the lower region of the earth, that is, in the mother's womb. Well, you can't say that I'm for the extermination of that, and yet I'm for that at the same time. I even said this, and it cut me off, but God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. So I believe that life starts in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. And then the child is conceived in the mother's womb, and God has a purpose, Pastor Parker, for you, and a purpose for me. Mm-hmm. The abortion is a man-made, unnatural interruption of a natural process that has been put in place. And when you bring the scriptures into it, you also see that it is a spiritual process. Mm-hmm. So for those good, well-intended ministers out there, I would say to them, you are buying a political statement. And it's a political statement that has been market tested, opinion groups signed off on it. That's right. And they said, we think that this will sell. So they find a benign way, and they have created a right that's not in the Constitution. You know, if a thing is a right, there's got to be something, a document or something that declares it to be a right. Mm-hmm. It is not in the Constitution. It's certainly not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There is no book with authority behind it that says that a woman had the right to exterminate the human life that has been placed in her as a result of her coming in contact, the egg and the sperm coming in contact with each other. So it's a made-up right. It's not a real right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And again, I appreciate you sharing your heart on that. It's sad how often you have people that say they're leaders in the church, yet they will give an excuse to disobey the word of God. And, you know, this that very statement to say, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. It helps to give an excuse to keep the door open to legally murder the child. And that's tragic that spiritual leaders would take that tragic stance. But too often that be the case then. Well, continuing on with the resolution then, again, that that last phrase I read says, whereas abortion is the killing of the innocent, which is against Scripture. Something I just want to touch on and ask if you would comment on as well, Bishop Wooden. You know, King James says one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not kill. The proper translation, of course, is you shall not murder. And murder, right, of course, is that statement here, the killing of innocent life specifically.
Exactly.
Any thoughts you'd want to share on that?
And that's the point. That's the point. The human beings in the womb have broken no laws. They have offended no one. They have done no wrong. As a matter of fact, if a society is judged on how it treats its most vulnerable, then our society is a bloody one, because we are slaughtering the truly innocent, the purest of the pure. The most pure state of a human being is when that human being is in the womb of the mother. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about innocent. And I even said this, Pastor Parker, and I may be getting into the weeds a little bit, but when I see the mall killings, when I see people being shot down in the streets, when I see in the news how schools are no longer safe, mm-hmm, I said prophetically, 10 to 15 years ago, prophetically, I said that when life in the womb is no longer sacred, then human life is not sacred anywhere. Mm-hmm. When we can kill the truly innocent, the senior citizens better look out. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, and I may sound a little crazy about in this, but if I am, I'll just stay crazy. But I see a direct correlation, mm-hmm, between the cheapening of life at the mall, in schools, and in places where people, in grocery stores, mm-hmm, at Walmart, and different places,
in church buildings as well,
senselessly slaughtered. Mm-hmm. I see a connection between this and these centers that are placed, that are put up all over the world, 78% of them within 2 miles of high black population centers, mm-hmm, where people walk in and they systematically snuff out the life of the truly innocent.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, the next statement goes on to say, abortion is genocide. Abortion,
yes,
must end to protect the life of the unborn.
Mm-hmm. Interesting statement there. It was included, and abortion is genocide. That timeless, powerful statement was uttered first, to my knowledge, by the Reverend Jesse Jackson and by the NAACP back in the days when Margaret Sanger was trying to establish Planned Parenthood in the black community. They saw this in places like Philadelphia, New York, and other areas where there were high black population centers. They saw this as a systematic way to exterminate our people. And it was viewed then as genocide. Now it is genocide today. Of course, some of those names that I aforementioned no longer hold that view today. Mm-hmm. But it is genocide. And there is, I want the audience to know that there is a genocide taking place in our nation. Thank God the numbers are down to, listen to this, I'm thanking God that, mm-hmm, the numbers are down to approximately 900 per day, mm-hmm, according to the Guttmacher Institute that we looked at. We're down to 900 abortions per day in the African American community alone, mm-hmm, maybe 2,000 per day in our nation, mm-hmm, per day, Pastor, per day. This,
yes,
goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And these are innocent lives. These are people whom the Lord loves. And in many of our cities, there are more African American babies being aborted in this country than there are being born. Mm-hmm. Now, anytime more of you are leaving then arriving, that is genocide in and of itself.
Right.
I've asked many of my friends, and I don't want to make this a black or white issue, but I asked them, have you ever wondered why, as a people, our numbers have never grown between 11 to 13%? We can't seem to break that ceiling. And look at what has happened with the population of the Hispanics and the Latinos. They are between 17 and 20% now of the American population, and their numbers are growing. We are some 43 million strong in the country. There are some 60 to 65 million strong in the country. We're 46% of the African-American race that should be here has been exterminated since Roe v. Wade in 1973. So, yes, sir, we were intentional in using language as strong as genocide.
Bishop Wood, those are some powerful statements, and of course, they're just true one after the other as you're sharing. So I'm going to go ahead and share our we're about to come up on a break. I'm going to share one more statement, and on the other side, we'll let you comment on it. The Church of God in Christ opposes elective abortions. This issue of personhood has haunted America since the Dred Scott Plessy versus Ferguson and Roe v. Wade decisions. Just as slavery was overturned in America, Jim Crow was defeated, and Nazi Germany was overthrown, it is our prayer that the heinous industry of abortion will become morally reprehensible worldwide. We'll let you comment on the other side. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He is the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back. From the Walls Group, all the praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden, the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop, as we begin this last segment, I'm going to ask if you start off, would you pray for the church to be bold and courageous in standing up for truth? And before we move forward.
Yes, sir. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, O God. We pray that you would stir. God, who stirred the heart of Cyrus the king, God, who stirred the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, God, who stirred the heart of Pharaoh, God, who stirs the heart of people, God, stir this great sleeping giant in America. Stir the church to rise up with righteous indignation, motivated by the Holy Spirit, motivated by love, but with righteous indignation, willing to fight, to be vocal, protest, to go out to the local clinic, to get the attention of the abortive intended mother, to do all that we can do legally and lawfully to turn her heart and to turn her mind. And also, Father, make our listeners savvy listeners, where they, when they listen to politicians, that they will know the right questions to ask, to find out where the politicians are on the issue of life. And if they are on the wrong side of this issue, that they will let this issue be a litmus test, where they will say to anyone that if you're not for life, then you can't get my vote. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the privilege you give us to be a part of your work in your kingdom and your church in the world. Lord, more and more, anoint us afresh with the spirit of courage and boldness just to be what you want us to be. Like Shipra and Pua, help us to boldly stand up for what's right in spite of the consequences, knowing that you will always use that witness one way or another. Thank you for the chance to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Whereas we believe that the following items must be the way to deal with unplanned pregnancies while addressing the current crisis. One, proactive abstinence education for students. Number two, Bible-based sexual education that supports marriage and family. Three, alternatives to abortion, that is, adoption, family support, and education. Fourthly, counseling and support for women and men who are suffering silently from post-abortive trauma. And six, funding of clinics that provide full range of women's health care that excludes elective abortions. And then seven, increased community safety net parental support, especially from our churches, to include respite child care, financial support, education, and other creative ways to support parents. Okay, would you expound on that portion?
Let me start with counseling for women and men who are suffering from silence first. One of the things that we want people to know, that those of us who are pro-life, we are not, you can't be pro-life and then be pro-death to someone who's had an abortion. Mm-hmm. One of the most surprising things that happened at the clinic where we are, where we fight on every Saturday for the lives of the unborn, is the reception that mothers get who decide not to listen to us and they give birth, they have the abortion anyway. The clinic is through with them. They're like trash. They're discarded. Sometimes they need to leave it there and go straight to the hospital. They're hurting. They're bleeding. In many cases, they can barely walk. Mm-hmm. They find our open, loving arms. We're there for them as well. Because even though you didn't listen to us, you did have the abortion, that you are still for whom Christ died. Mm-hmm. We couple our anti-abortion message with always saying to the audience that we preach to, there is more likely than not that there's a woman or in here who's had an abortion, or women who have, and there are men and women who have paid for abortions and things. And if you have and you've repented of your sins, Jesus Christ has forgiven you. If you haven't repented, repent and Christ will forgive you. Don't feel the need to leave the service, to get up and leave. Don't get your purse and your coat and walk out. But even though you may have gone through with this, Christ will forgive you. But give us permission. Allow us to preach this so that we can save the next child. So we want people to know that we are concerned about that post-abortive mother, that dad, that grandma, that uncle, that person who paid for the abortion. We believe a common sense belief, and that is, with the exception of Joseph and Mary, abstinence worked every time it's tried. Mm-hmm. So we believe also that if you raise the bar with young people, they'll live up to it. We don't buy for one minute the adage, everybody's doing it, everybody's having sex, so we're going to give up on that. So we teach abstinence-based education for students, Bible-based sex education. We know that the God of the Bible created sex. not a filthy thing. It's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. It is. God made it pleasurable, and it is for the recreation, and it keeps the population going. Mm-hmm. But we know that Satan has come in and corrupted it. So we believe that if we preach the biblical mandate, we preach it from a biblical standpoint, we teach the people the value of saving sex for marriage, we celebrate those who are virgins, and then we celebrate those who are walking in abstinence. These things need to be celebrated. It goes a long way, and also providing funding for clinics, mammograms, sexually transmitted disease testing, and things like that, mm-hmm. early childhood support, parenting support. I want to say to the listeners, moms and dads out there, no one, not the preacher, not the bishop, not this radio station, not Pastor Parker, as great as he is, no one is as great as the parents. And parents, moms and dads out there, talk to your children. Mm-hmm. Teach them, hold up the standard. If you uphold the standard, they will live up to it. We want to increase community safety nets for parental support, especially from our churches. And you know, one of the things that I believe is that if pastors would talk about this, and here's what I believe in terms of things we talk about. I don't think that you should mention something once a year that is a daily and a weekly tragedy.
That's right. That's right.
I don't think that you should visit it once a month. If it's a daily and weekly tragedy, I believe all churches should be life churches, and we should find a way on a regular basis to keep this before our people, because on a regular basis, our opposition find ways to keep the support for it before the people, whether it is in commercials, on bulletin boards, you name it. The world is savvy. They're constantly telling people that this is a viable, benign option. Well, we got to constantly keep before the people that it is a hellish, ghoulish options, and those instruments that they use in the abortion clinics are indeed the weapons of mass destruction. And if we keep it before the people, I've seen it with my own eyes, it changes the behavior of young people.
That's right.
Two Sundays ago, we had a lady at our church, and I recognized her, and I let these people know. A little later, you may not know where you've seen her before. And some wonder said, yes, we've seen her before, but we're not quite sure where she's from. Well, she was an escort who worked at an abortion clinic, who opposed us. The love of Jesus Christ got hold to her, and she ended up coming to the church on a Sunday morning, and she sat there in the service, and she kept looking around and looking around. She felt the love of Christ, the power of Christ, the joy of Christ, and I preached in my message. I talked about this thing, and after service was over, she walked up to me and said, and this was a person on the other side working for the clinics, she said, Reverend, I believe and agree with everything that you've said. I just had never heard it said. So it's amazing what happens, Pastor Parker, when we talk about it, we preach on it, when we also put our money behind it. Now, this is not a work that comes without costs. Mm-hmm. See, because when that abortive intended mom listens to us and she decides to give birth, if her issue is that she just don't have anything, she's poor, she's needed, well, I don't think our mission is over once she decides to give birth. We have had many services and gatherings where we gather with that mom and buy all the things that she needs to help her along the way, to help that child. We keep up with their birthdays. We keep up with their needs as the child grows, with the goal of them, of course, becoming self-sufficient. But at that time of crisis, hey, man, we got to be there. And we got to be there with prayer. But we also got to be there with financial support. We got to be there with blankets and toys and baby shoes and milk and diapers and all of those natural things.
Bishop,
you know, James says you got to do more than say be filled.
I'm going to have to jump in here, Bishop. Our time is just about gone. You've done a beautiful job of really summarizing the resolution. Thank you so much. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you or your church?
Church of God in Christ, Upper Room Church of God in Christ. Call our church, area code 919-829-6160. Upper Room Church of God in Christ. Our website, upperroomgospel.org. Find us out there, and we will respond.
Amen. Bishop Wooden, thank you so much for being with us today.
God bless.
Amen. Our phone guest was Bishop Patrick Wooden, pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ, Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.